Morning's message, trusting God when things look hopeless. Trusting God when things look hopeless. Coming from the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, the 1st through the 44th verse, picking out of the verses in there having to do with a hopeless situation. And we've heard of bad investments and, you know, sticking good money after bad. And seems as though that's what some people do in life. We follow the same situations, we follow the same scenario again and again. We do the same thing over and over. That's hopeless. And we look at some situations, whether it be our home, our job, the economy, and sometimes you look at some of the churches and it looks desolate, look like it's not growing, look like it's been coming to ruin. So being was it the case with Jeremiah. This took a lot of faith in what Jeremiah did. The Babylonians was there. Destruction was going about. They had carried some off into captivity. We know this is not in chronological order. But at this time, Jeremiah was in the court of the prison of the king's house. In other words, he wasn't in the dungeon, but he was in the prison. He couldn't leave out the courts of the king's house. And he had been prophesizing and preaching all that time as to what was going to come about, what was going to happen in Jerusalem and happen until Judah. And that it was going to be 70 years in captivity. And he had thought seeing that come about. And then God comes and tells him, you know, buy a certain piece of property. You talk about a bad investment. It's like buying houses in Detroit, you know. They declared bankruptcy. And at one time they were saying how cheap they were to buy, you know. It's like somebody say, well, buy some land up in Alston next to the where they're about to build a dump or where they're about to build a waste site or something. That's not a good investment, you know. It's going to mar your inheritance, you know, for just the stench alone from a sewer plant. They're having to buy some families out back in that area or whatever. Here, God tells Jeremiah to invest in this property. And Jeremiah, you know, at first he seems kind of skeptical about it. And God always has a any verse of scripture that we read has a whole lot of meaning to it. I didn't want y'all to look over that. I read that, what Deacon had read this morning, second Peter. And that's where Jeremiah is. It says, grace and peace be multiplied. He kind of skimmed over that word, multiplied. In other words, grow. Multiplied. In other words, times two, times four, times six. In other words, see, you start off with a little faith and trust in God and you build up. It took Abraham 25 years to build enough faith to really believe God. It don't just come overnight. So that's why people say when the last minute they're going to start believing God. Well, it's hard because that's a journey. To be a righteousness and character in you and believe in God. And look what all Peter says there. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. In other words, that's the only way that you will grow in grace and knowledge is by exercising the word of God by the fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and understanding. So to be walking in God's word is the only way that growth is going to come about. So many people in church for years and years that aren't growing, that aren't fruitful, and those be cast off. God cast him out of here because they're not using the Spirit. They'll be just like Judah was, thrown out of the land because the word of God is not being cultivated. In other words, you have to nurture that word. It comes with works along with that, the word of God. You have to have works. Faith coming by hearing, but a faith without works is a dead faith. You're in church, you never do anything. to the people outside the church, say, oh, I believe in God. Well, don't you go to church? Are you witnessing about God? What are you doing to show that you actually believe in God, that you have faith? Verse 3 says, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto his exceeding great and precious promises. And that's what Jeremiah had to build upon, the promises of God, because God had said that he would bring them back to the land, and that they would build homes, they would enjoy vineyards, and that he would reestablish them, that he would bring back or return the captivity. He would return the captivity, even though it looked hopeless at this time. And that's why he was using Jeremiah to help set forth a precedent, a message unto the people that, you see, even though God's taking you out of the land, it's going to be this way. He said, go and buy this property from your Uncle Haniel. Buy this piece of property, even though they're getting carted off to captivity. They're not going to have the land. And Jeremiah, you know, I wonder what sense that made. It's a time that it's hard, you know, and people are being carried out of here, and it's going to be poor people left in the land, and it's not going to be very much work. It's not going to be very much going on. He didn't have really a following anyhow. And he's been preached to them some 40 years. You know, I think his ministry lasted 40 or 50 years. And if it's going to be 70 years in which Babylon's going to occupy the land, that's about 100-some years old he would be before he could even enjoy the land, you know, in his rational and his thinking. So what am I going to get out of buying this land, you know? I don't see the immediate usefulness of me prospering. But he had grown in grace of God, in the grace of God, and in faith and trusting God. And that's what we have to do. Our faith has to be ever-increasing faith. And listen to how Peter puts it. He says, besides this, he says, partakers of the promise, that by ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now that's key for us, because it wasn't key for them, because they wasn't partakers of the divine nature. God had placed his spirit in us, the word of God, that we have that nature. That's the promise as a metaphor here in the book of Jeremiah in the 32nd chapter, when he told them to buy this property and write up a deed, get a deed and write a deed, and then put one copy of the deed in an earthen vessel and seal it and hide it in the ground. That's just like us. The Holy Spirit is our seal. It's our, the earnest of our inheritance. And he had put that treasure in earthen vessels, which is us. He had put that valuable treasure. He had sealed us until the day of redemption. So Jeremiah would have had a sealed copy showing that he had ownership of that deed. See, we have ownership. In other words, we partakers of that nature. He's given us a part of him. But what we should be doing is causing that nature in us to grow. That inheritance, that state in the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus says the kingdom of God is amongst you. It's within you. We're to bring forth the kingdom of God right here in this life, in this. We're to do the works of God. And that's a faith that has works. So as Peter goes on, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. That's why I say, you see where this seed is going? It is growing. He says, add virtue, add knowledge, add diligence. In other words, working, doing things, business. We're to be a diligent people. We're to be alive. We're to be quickened. That's what God's Spirit does, quicken and makes us alive. He says, and to knowledge, add temperance. You remember we talked a lesson on temperate, to be temperate in all things. You see, he says, add temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, in other words, overflow, if you keep nourishing in these things growing in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, that he had remission of old sins, that those had been removed and that he was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And Jeremiah typified this in what God was telling him when he told him to go purchase this plot of land. Verse 1 of chapter 32 of Jeremiah says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember I told you time had been started reckoning by the Gentiles. It was the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles was to continue to this period in which we're in. And that's when God's judgment come is at the time when the times of the Gentile is fulfilled at the end of that time. So Zedekiah was placed on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar. It was the 10th year of his reign, it's the 18th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore doest thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape and out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes, and he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall be he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, by Hananiah, he said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hananiah the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is an Anatot, for the right of redemption is thine, buy it. So all this was going on, it seemed hopeless because it's just like me here in Baton Rouge talking against LSU or Baton Rouge or Louisiana or United States of America. You know, it seems as though I'm a traitor, I'm for treason, and this is not going to pan out for me. It looked like it wasn't going to pan out for Jeremiah. And all this was against him, but it was coming true. We see in 2 Kings, the 25th chapter of 2 Kings is where we see whereby that came true, that they tried to flee by night, that Zedekiah tried to flee by night, and that the king of Babylon did take him, the 25th chapter in the 4th through the 7th verse, and Jeremiah the 39th chapter in the 5th through the 8th verse, that judgment did come up on Zedekiah. That he was speaking the word of God, and that's what we have to do. Continually do the works of God, and God will grow you in faith. But look what happened here. Jeremiah was in a bad position, just as some of us are now. Don't look like we're going to get anywhere. Don't look like we're prospering. But if we have faith, if we have children of faith, we'll study God's word and we'll grow in God, and we can see that God is working and it isn't bad as it looks. And that's what happened here with Jeremiah. And this is how the word of God is. Inside you, there's voices talking, you things talking to you, and sometimes you say something says or this and that there. And a lot of people think the word of God is like some of these evangelists say it, like God sitting down to the table talking to you very plainly or clearly across from you, man to man. But look at this next verse here. This is to show you something. Because when they spoke, just like I tell you, you better make sure it's the Lord speaking to you. And a lot of times people come to you and say, the Spirit of the Lord or something told me, you better make sure of that something. Because Jeremiah was kind of questioning this. He didn't see in this that was this really God? Because how bleak the situation looked. And let's look at that. He says, so verse 8, so Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord. Just as God said it, here comes a man, confirm God's word. You see where this word had to be confirmed? See, that's what the preacher does. He confirms God's word. You have no need to know man teaches you. God teaches you himself. But see, you have that which reinforces the faith that's in you, that somebody speaks this thing into existence, that brings it about, whereas you know, okay, well, that must be the word of God. So he's thinking on this. Is this me just thinking, hopeful thinking, or wishful thinking, or just daydreaming? But in comes his uncle, Hananiah, inside the prison court. He's fit to flee to Babylon. I don't know if they're taking him captive or if he's going voluntarily, because you remember some went voluntarily as God had told him to do. But he's about to leave his possession behind. He comes to where Jeremiah is in the court prison, and he said unto me, by my field I pray thee, that is in Anatot, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and then redemption is thine. Buy it from thyself. He says, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. All of your parents or your relatives or something may have had a piece of ground or something, a piece of land, and it's heirs' property. In other words, you and your brothers and sisters, or you and somebody else in that together, and they say, somebody come to you, and this been, you know, you and your brother or sister been at it. See, if you have a lot of heirs or people within things, you can't do anything with it. But here he is, his uncle comes and says, okay, the right of redemption is yours. You want to buy this field from me. Say, you know, this must be God. Things ever happen with you, you say, you know, God, this had to be God. That you seen that this what you was thinking about or something was telling you, but this confirms it to you. So here Hanamel comes and tells him this. And see, so just like his preaching and teaching, we preach by faith. You know, a lot of preachers and things tell you that they're like they sitting down talking to God. You hope that that's God, because no man had seen God at any time. People tell you they see Jesus and God. You believe that. That's what you believe. That's what your faith, that's what your religion and belief tell you. But God doesn't just come out and show himself and show all these things. That's belief. That's faith. And that's what Jeremiah had in God. So he acted upon this. He paid him 17 shekels. I bought the field of Hananiah, my uncle's son, that was Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed, according to the law and custom, that which was open. So he took the seal vessel. Like I said, we are sealed vessels of God. God had given us an inheritance of the saints in which the day of redemption comes by. Like if you go to a pawn shop and you leave something there, you leave a lawnmower, a power saw, some item there, they give you a pawn ticket. That's your right of redemption. You need that ticket to go back and purchase to get that item of yours back. That's your entitlement to the, well, the Holy Ghost is our seal that God had purchased us, that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what covers us. That's what we are under, that blood, that he had redeemed us, and there be a day of redemption when these corruptible bodies will be changed into incorruptible bodies. But just like Jeremiah had to wait a long period of time, we have to wait and labor till that comes about. But during that time, we have to labor for God. We have to show a faith doing that. We have to walk by faith doing that. Because salvation, as I said, is not overnight. You grow in the grace and the goodness of God. So, as children of God, you see his birth here into a possession of what God was going to have. And this substantiated to other people that Jeremiah must think this is going to come true. He's not just throwing away his money. He does think that we're going to be back in this land. That gave the other people hope. Have other people inspired you? That's why he says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, because one day we'll have testimonies aplenty. And when others are standing up and telling other people of what has happened to them during that week, what situation, whereas it's better if people of the congregation are testifying of how they did or what they've done for the Lord that week or how God was manifest in their lives. That's what happened during the days of the apostles. They met daily, and that's what they were swapping, what was going on in their life, how God was working in their lives, what was going on. Because God is busy in our lives, whether we're saying it or not. And your testimony helps somebody else. It strengthens another. That's what Barnabas' given testimony did. That's what Barnabas' works did. It inspired others to work. But to the wicked, it inspired Ananias and Sapphira to lie. They wanted to look big and do what Barnabas was doing. They sold the property, but they lied and said that they sold it for so much and such, and they didn't. They couldn't work the works of God because they hadn't been completely cleansed. That's why I say a lot of them in the church that could do works. It's a lot of church that doing works that are not the children of God. That's why I say it's going to be a lot of people like Judah that supposed to be the children of God that are cut off. And believe me, he'll cut us Gentiles off that are in the church that are not doing the works of God just like he did them. He'll cut you off. If you're not bringing fruit, any tree that the Father had planted, any tree that's just cumbering the ground, God's going to hew it down in his roots. We need to be busy working. If we children of Abraham, just as Eve was the mother of all living, in Genesis 3:20, Adam called his wife names Eve because she was the mother of all living. That's who Eve was, the mother of all, right? Okay, God made a promise to Eve that her seed would bruise the serpent's head. In other words, her seed would have victory. So this had to be a human, in other words. This had to be an individual person, a living being, in other words, not a spirit being. That's why Christ came in the flesh. During this hopeless situation that God couldn't find a man to fulfill this, Christ came in the flesh to fulfill this promised seed. We should be brothers of Jesus Christ to do the same. He should be the firstborn, the first begotten from the dead. He was the first begotten. Now, the difference with him that he was begotten from the Father. Now that's a whole other sermon, a whole other teaching aspect. But we are brethren with him. We are joint heirs. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We understand that much. Okay, but then we have another father also. Hebrews and throughout Genesis, who is our father? As he told the Hebrew, the Jewish people in the gospel, he said, I could raise up those rocks. The crowd, if you don't cry out. In other words, just by physical birth in the lineage of Abraham, that didn't make them children of Abraham. That's why these preachers running around here hollering about the Jews, this and God's could do, not to unbelieving Jews, he's not could do it. They would have to be believing Jews just like us. They would have to be born of faith. Because Abraham's seed, and he's a father of many nations, but be what? Children of faith as Abraham was. So Abraham is our father by what? Faith. That we display the faith of Abraham. And Abraham is going to be called the father of faith. The father of those of faith. So those that are children of Abraham are children of faith. Whether they be Jew or Gentile. That's why he had to kick the Jews out to illustrate to us that it didn't make any difference whether you were so-called chosen people or not. He said there'd be many a call, but only a few chosen. That's why the church age, he tells them in Revelation, he's going to fight against the church. All of those in the body of Christ, even that does works. Many were saying that day, Lord, Lord, had we done this in your name? But see, they have no knowledge of God. They wasn't multiplied in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They hadn't grew. They knew of Christ, but they didn't. They were like Martha. They were encumbered with work and not with hearing of the word. It wasn't mixed with faith. Faith has works, and faith coming by hearing. But see, there's two types of faith. So, we have to be Hebrews when it talks about the hall of faith. Those are the hall of faith in Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's where we have to believe in God, by faith. It's impossible any other way to please God except by faith. So, we become children of faith. That's how we are born into the family of God. That's how we are adopted. We cry, Abba, Father. And when we learn of him, and that's what the church is, it's an institution where we learn of Christ, where we continue in his word. And then we're cleansed and purged in the church. All of that's done through Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, the things that happen to us according to our faith. That's the third point. Be it done unto you according to your faith. God is in the business of growing us in him, making us in his likeness and his image. That's why Peter says, to virtue add knowledge, to knowledge add temperance, to temperance add so forth, patience and godliness. All these things are said because we continually grow in Christ, as Paul said, pressing on toward the mark. We're going to make mistakes along the way, but we're forgetting about those things behind. We're continuing pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And sometimes it looks hopeless, but we never give up. He takes no pleasure in those that give up unto prediction, unto those that just sit around and believe something's going to happen. When he says, wait upon the Lord, he doesn't mean be idle. He doesn't mean not do anything. But he means trust and having trust in God. Now, let's look at Matthew 9 and 22, because it says, be it done unto you according to your faith. That's why I said you have to have faith to please God. Matthew 9, 22 says, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thine faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Now, what healed her? Faith. But did it require works? See, she had studied the Bible. If you look at the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll see in there where suppose there had been healing power in the tassels of the priest. And that's where some of the word of faith churches and things get it, that lay your hand on the radio. Lay your hand on this and that, a point of contact. This was the woman with the issue of blood that pressed through the crowd and said, I can just touch the heel of his garment. I'll be made whole. I'll be made whole. But do you see that she had to work to get to Jesus Christ? And he didn't say it was the work. He said, thine faith had made you whole. So she knew that this was scriptural, whatever. But she believed in God's word. She believed in God. She believed in who Jesus was. But it was her faith that had made her whole. So don't get wrapped up in these churches just because they have a premise of what God's word says. Because that has nothing to do with but sidetracking you into thinking that you have to have this point of contact. And you see a lot of them hitting people, slaying in the spirit and all this or whatever. Let's not cheapen God's spirit. But this was work of hers to get to Jesus Christ. Continue on in that same chapter, 27th verse. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came in with him. And the blind men said unto him, Believe ye? The blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, What according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they were departed, spread about his fame in all the country. Now, he had told them not to say anything, but they did say something. But he says, Be it unto you according to faith. See, they had the labor to get him. The press was all about him. It's just like the young men that had lowered their friend down in the roof. But they had to cry, in other words, praying, pleading with Christ. You see, if we seek diligently after the Lord, it's going to happen to us according to our faith. He'll heal us. Just like the woman, she pressed in and touched the heel of his garment. He felt virtue leave out of him. But it's according to a faith that you actually believe these things. You have to get up. Faith has works. Now, Luke 7:46, it's about the woman that anointed his head with oil and took this garment, this alabaster box of oil, this perfume, incense, and anointed him. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many. Well, she's very sinful, but she has a whole lot of sin. And the Pharisees even said, you know, if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't let her touch you. But he said, even though your sins are many, they are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom much to whom is forgiven little, the same loveth little. But she loveth much. And he said to her, Thine sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him, began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sin? And he said to the woman, Thine faith saveth thee. Thine faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Your faith hath saved you. Go in peace. See, God does these things to people that's tugging after and believing after him. That's why we seek the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to us. But first, you have to go after God. Go after Jesus. Go after him. Seek after him. And that's going to be a reward. He diligently shall reward those. Luke 8:46 is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the 19th chapter of Luke. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. We're always trying to drag or talk about rich people. But this man was rich, and he was a publican. He was the chief among the publicans. And he sought to see Jesus. Now, he struggled to see Jesus. This is the one that ran and climbed up in the tree. I could not for the press. I tell you, everywhere he went, people were crowding in around him. And because he was so short and everything, he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree to try to see him, for Jesus was supposed to come that way. And when Jesus had came to the place, he looked up in the tree and saw it, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thine house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. See, if we joyfully follow God, if we without haste do what God has bidden us to do, all this comes with obedience. Jeremiah was obedient unto God when he said, buy the field. He bought it from Hananel. See, we have to not only believe God, we have to be obedient to God. Faith brings us into the right context with God. But all this is happening because why? Look at all these people. What's happening? The remission of sin, the removal of sins. He said, if thy sins be forgiven, he puts them in a shape or a condition where they are justified before God. They're in right standing with God. So now that they could go forth and not continue in sin, but go forth and do the works God required them to do. See what I'm saying? That God enables us. He's the one who enables us to follow after him. Not we ourselves. But he attributes the glory to us also. He said, and faith had made you heal. But he was the one who had given them that faith. So faith has works. You have to put some legs to that faith. So, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, what? He's going to be a guest with a sinner man, such as Zacchaeus? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. There goes regeneration and restoration. He's been cleansed himself. He's purging himself. That's why it says, if these be in us, we'll purge ourselves. So Zacchaeus is looking for right standing to go on with his life. He's not holding on to past animosities. He's looking back in the past for those that he had done wrong so he can right. And that's what I told you in the Old Testament. It showed that whereby where you can make restitution, you make restitution. That's why Jesus said before you offer to get your gift at the altar, you go and get right with your brother first. You have to be right with others before you can come and pray to God. You can't hate your brother and love God. It's not just going and praying to God and asking for God to prosper your life and let this happen in your life and you don't like love God's people. Jesus even says, love your enemy. Let me finish this one first. He says, and Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so, listen at this verse 9. Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. What made him a son of Abraham? His faith. His faith. His faith in God. For the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. Gentiles, Palestinians, Syrians, Israelis, Arabs, blacks, Caucasians, Russians, Japanese, Chinese, all men are to be saved. Jesus, none should be lost. He came to save all men, and they are entitled as brethren. And we have to see them as such. Mark those that cause divisions among you. You mark those that cause division. Faith is what purchases this for us because by faith we are the seed of Abraham. Now, Jesus, let's talk about Jesus here in the book of, I got it somewhere else, wrote here about the Syrophoenician woman in the book of Luke. That Jesus talked about here. Luke 4 and 24. Because you remember I said love your enemies? And I was trying to finish that before I went to your enemies. And I named the Palestinians, which most so-called Christians, and I tell you that's what happened when we link denominations and link Christianity, and they are saying about stand up for Israel, and Israel shouldn't have give the Palestinians in any land, and against the peace negotiations and all that, until they start to follow peace and stop warring with the Palestinians, they won't see God. Because didn't God kick them out of that land? It has to be God that restore them back to the land. So that would happen in 48 or 46 when we talk about the Rockefellers of money placed them back in the land. No, it was God who God could restore them because God has to make his restoration where it's permanent. Whereas when he allowed them to come back after 70 years, that promise of the enemy not having rule over them wasn't to be fulfilled. It was in Jesus Christ that when it was finished. So God sets up the land boundaries because anybody that's a child of Abraham have an inheritance in the world. So there'll be many Palestinians that inherit, whereas a lot of Jews won't inherit in Israel. Because if they have faith in Jesus Christ. You understand that? Be many Assyrians. Now listen, because they'll kill you over this. And that's why I say, Jeremiah was on dangerous ground. That's why Zedekiah wanted to kill him. That's why he was in prison. That's why people kill Jesus. That's why they kill them all. They'll kill you for preaching and teaching these. This is not popular doctrine. You're not going to get rich preaching and teaching these things. They'll kill you over this. And he said unto them, Luke 4:24, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, it was many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. That was a widow woman he was sent to. But she was a Gentile. He was sent. You remember he left Israel. He left his land and went to another land. Was sent to a Jewish person. It says, listen to Jesus getting under. This is a Jew he's talking to. He says, and there were many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving who? Naaman, the Syrian. You remember here, Naaman the Syrian. Not the lepers in Israel, but Naaman the Syrian was cleansed. Man, Jesus talking some stuff to them here. The Jews now could go for that. You can't go in the Jewish territory preaching that gospel. That wasn't the gospel they wanted to hear coming from anybody. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Verse 29. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city. They thrust Jesus out of the city. You're preaching the wrong gospel here. You're talking about saving a Syrian, a Gentile. You talking about saving Palestinians? You talking about saving all men, any man, that there's no Jew or Gentile? This is the wrong gospel. That's why you hear people, oh, the land, if we don't want it, Israel can't do people wrong and inherit. They have to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ to inherit the land, or they're not children of Abraham. They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They took Jesus out at the top of the hill, and they were going to throw him down that hill if they could. See, but that's where faith in God comes in. Jeremiah was still preaching, but God told us not to worry about our life. Why would he tell us that if he wouldn't do it? Jesus was a man, so if he wasn't worried about his life, he told them the truth. They tried to kill him here. It wasn't the first time they picked up rocks and was trying to kill him. They was going to cast him down headlong over this precipice of the mountain. But he passed and through the midst of them went his way. God was with him. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. If you don't tell people what they want to hear, you go to talking about their Christmases and their Sabbaths, their Sunday worship, their Easter services. You go to telling people what they don't want to hear. People will kill you, your best friend, your wife, your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy. He said, I come to bring a sword. See, because when you preach this gospel, you just don't know what you're making against you. You don't know what kind of friends you have out there. Tried to deter. Let's see, sometimes our faith deterred easily, because there was this one woman that Jesus went to, and she were, this is the same, listen at this, same woman, but in Matthew's account of it. Matthew 15, chapter 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, this is a Canaanite now, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, hey, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, look, send her away, for she's coming after us, crying after us, send her away, telling the people to let her get close to Jesus. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I'm sent to preach to. You of Canaan, I wasn't sent to preach to you. I wasn't sent to you. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I'm not like you. I'm not of you. Lord, help me. She can't help herself. She needs help. Her daughter's dying. But she's not like us. You know, that's what the Levite and the priest, they crossed on the other side of the road and didn't help this man. A Samaritan had to help. You know, a lot of people, they won't help you if you're not the same as they are. If you're not wealthy or if you're not a certain race, you're not a certain class, they're not going to help you. But he answered, she says, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, look, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know, people call the Samaritans and the Canaanites, they call them dogs. He says, not meet to take the children's bread, cast it to the dogs. This was a simile he was using. I don't think he was actually calling her a dog, even though that's the lingo that the people call them. But listen at her. She's in a conversation. Now, I've heard of some of the evangelists talking about in a conversation with God. She's like Abraham. If she's in negotiations with God here, he says, it's not meet to cast the children's bread unto the dog. She said, true, Lord, truth. I'm not going to call you a lie. It's truth. She says, yet, though, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You remember Lazarus had to eat the crumbs that was falling from the dog, with the dogs and thing. But she says, true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's tables. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thine faith. Great is thine faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Did I tell you, be it unto you according to your faith? He says, and her daughter was healed at that very hour. Her daughter was healed at that very hour. So, even with our enemies, even with those that are not like us, God has looking for those that are faith. Tell you about Naaman, because Naaman, he said he was going to have to continue and take his master into the temple, and his master was going to lean on his hand and worship him, but he asked the Lord to forgive him. Likewise, also, Rahab the harlot was justified by works when she had received the messages and had sent them away. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. That's what I told you. All these people had works, and we're going to talk about works coming up. And I'll give you a sheet. The Christians supposed to have works. You see, when I tell you about you're not saved by works, don't take that and build a doctrine off of it. Because that's why we'll never learn it all from God. We'll have an infinite time studying God. Because justification, it's not by works, but faith has works. Let me go on and let's get here. We have to believe in God who sent Jesus, which impels us to loving obedience and good works. That's a different type of faith. Remember I told you there's different types of faith? Even though faith is you can't see faith. But you remember I did preach a series, You Can See Faith. You see, it is in the name. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his names, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, but not of the will of man, but of the will of God. James 2 and 14 says, what if profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works? What profit's in that? Nothing. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you said to him, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him those things which are needful to the body, what doeth that prosper? Did that profit that guy anyhow about how religious you are, how much Christian you say? Or do you probably need to give him a piece of bread, give him something to eat, help him out? And one of you, even so, if it had not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thine faith without thine works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But are they saved just because they believe? Faith has to have works. But will thou, O vain man, that know that faith without works is dead? That's a dead faith. Faith, it has works. Was not our Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac upon his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Not that he was righteousness, God imputed. In other words, he reckoned him righteous. See, but he had to go on from there to be established or develop a righteous character. He was called a friend of God. Yeah, you see how that by works a man is justified, not by faith alone. Not by faith alone. And I tell you, the judgment that comes up on man, and God had kicked Judah out, and God would do the same to us. God would do the same to us, those that are sitting in the church and come in week after week at home or whatever and say, I believe in God. But what are you doing? Are you going out witnessing for God? Are you trying to win souls? Are you being a light unto the world? That's why they were kicked out of the promised land. They wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. They wasn't manifesting works. They wasn't manifesting works. God's not looking for pew setters. He's not looking for somebody just interested in themselves. And to please God, you have to have faith, and faith has works. Don't be this disappointed this morning saying, I believe God, and I do this, and I do that, and I feed the needy, and I feed. He's will come unto you in that last day and say, depart from me, I never knew you, because your faith didn't grow. You didn't read God's Word. How many of us read the notes we get? How many of us are reading God's Word daily? How many of us are actually praying to God? God's good. I'm not going to test you on this. I never test you on this. But your life is the test. It's being manifest. God's the one trying you. He's the one sending trouble your way. He's sending sickness your way. He's sending problems in your home your way. He's sending problems on your job. He's causing these things to happen in your life because he wants you to learn to be an overcomer. He wants you to become a child of God and overcome all things. See, the Pharisees were so religious. They were the religious of that time. We see here, they were about to kill him. They were about to press him over a hill. But if you will be just like the Pharisee, that you say you're saved, that you're just in church, that you go to church, but tell me, is church in you? Is God working in you, in your life? Are you being fruitful? Are you multiplying the grace and knowledge of God in your life? If not, the conclusion of the matter, you will end up like Judah. You're not going to have inheritance in the kingdom of God because you're not going to purge yourself. In Matthew 8:11, he says, I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west. In other words, from everywhere. From the east never meets west. So there's going to be a multitude of people come before God. Oh, that means a variation of many people, because all nations shall be saved in Jesus Christ. But listen to this. And shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Because these people are displaying works. They know the kingdom is among them. That the kingdom of God has came. It's within your heart. It's that partaking of that nature. He has placed that nature in you. He says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Our example was Judah. He cast Judah out. He cast Israel. He cast them out of the promised land. He says, many shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke states it differently. Luke 13:28 says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You that's preaching, you that's going around teaching the gospel, you that's doing all these things, you'll be thrust out. The church, you have fallen away from God. You have apostatized. You'll be like I was telling you, that preacher that started the church here. Large as that church was, over 8,000 members right now here, was cast out. Was cast out of the church. You'll be cast out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. Tell me, is that just Palestine? Is that just over in Israel? Or is they going to come from every nation? He says, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. You're the father of many nations. Not just one nation. You're the father of many nations. Because, you know, I promised Hagar that I was going to make Ishmael a nation. You want to talk about the Arabs? They'll be there to greet it. It's in your Bible. You want to talk about the Palestinians? They have a right to, if they believe in Jesus Christ. They're sons of Abraham. Anybody. He said they will come from the east, from the north, from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom. And behold, there are they which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. You thought you was the head of the class? You could be at the end of the class. See, it looks hopeless, but you need to get in that hopeless situation and fight and struggle. Look like you're barren now, but he couldn't cause you to be fruitful. But you have to apply it. You have to work. The reason you're not growing, the reason you don't have it, the reason you're envious and jealous of other people is you don't have. And the reason you don't have is you don't ask. He says, anything that you ask the Father in my name, that I'll give to you. And John said, the reason we have that which we ask of him, we do his will. His commandments are not grievous on us. But you didn't listen to some false Christian that taught you against God's laws, that says the law is no longer active or pertinent in our lives. And here's God saying, Jeremiah, I'm going to write my laws upon their heart. You remember, he was the one who wrote the thing, with the thing of God, he wrote the Ten Commandments. Well, that same thing where he's going to write it up on your hearts. The law is holy and pure. He found fault with them. Is he going to find fault with you? The fault wasn't with the law. The law is holy and pure. He found fault with them. Tell me, what law is he going to write up on your heart? When he says, I'm going to give them a new heart and I'm going to write my laws. You mean he got another set of laws and commandments somewhere? Or Jesus say, I come not to destroy the law. Not one jot or tittle. That law, that's the law he's writing on. Look, by faith, read Romans. It says, by faith we help establish the laws of God. By faith we help establish those laws. Because we're given to Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. The law has no bearing on us. But we're not breakers of the law because we're made in the image of God and in the likeness of Jesus Christ, which wasn't a lawbreaker. He had established the laws of God because he knew what the Father and the Father had taught him. He was sent by God and he sent us. He said, I send you to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and to make disciples of them. Are we doing these things? Jeremiah was continually showing forth this word while he was in a courtyard prison, while it looked at hopeless. Don't wait till you get in a church, a mega church. You help build the mega church. You help build the ruin in the desolate places of David, because the kingdom of God is right here upon this earth. Jesus said it's right here among you, but you can't see it because you have little faith. Have faith in when it looks hopeless here. When it looks desolate, have faith in God.